Good morning. It's Thursday, and that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for joining us via the radio waves. And also, if you would like, the telephone lines and the email device and the Twitter machine and the many ways we have to communicate with each other nowadays. So please do not be a stranger. 414-1234 is the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If you're long distance, perspectives@wfsu.org. is the email address, and at WFSU Perspective is the Twitter account to which you may send any kind of questions or comments that you have. Boy, during the past probably 6 months and beyond, but it just seems to have been a growing awareness during that past half of year of the amount of street violence that there has always been a part of Tallahassee, but just has seemed to accelerate, and a lot of very high-profile cases have come out. Just a couple weekends ago, you had three shootings within hours of each other. You've had fatalities. You've had primarily young men whose lives have been ruined either by incarceration because of their direct involvement in the violence, or death or horrible injury. And it has been something that the community has been trying desperately to wrap its hands around. And I thought maybe we could get at least a handle on some of the aspects of that today. So we have some gentlemen who are very knowledgeable and plugged in on this issue, and they are going to share their thoughts and ideas with you, and maybe we can, if not reaching a resolution, at least move a little bit further on down the road to mitigation of this situation we find ourselves in. So we're going to say good morning on Perspectives first to Reverend Stanley Sims with Shepherd's Hand Rescue Center in Havana that, Reverend, you are now putting back on track again. We had it. It was took a little time out, and now you're bringing it back online. What does that do? What's the vision you have for that outreach?
The purpose that I created Shepherd's Hand Resource Center is to empower local income people to take, you know, ownership and seek out advocacy for their problems, whether it's better medical health care, better educational opportunities, economic opportunities, you know, those things that suppress them, to, you know, encourage them to find support resources to help lift them up.
Well, we want to find out more about how those play into this whole situation here of getting more community involvement and concentration in dealing with the situation here. And we'll also say hi to Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor, current Commission Vice Chair, representative of District 1, which includes Tallahassee Southside and the Frenchtown area. Been on deck since 1996. Gosh, Commissioner, that's that kind of makes you the grand old man of the commission, with the exception, of course, of Commissioner Sauls, who says now she's not going to seek another term. So you're kind of the coming up on the senior guy, huh?
Well, thank you, Tom, and good morning. I, relish each day and each week that goes by and the opportunity to serve. And they say that time flies when you're having fun, and I've had a lot of fun, and so time is just swiftly going by. You'd be surprised how honestly, it just doesn't seem like it's been that long, really.
I remember when you were first elected to the commission, and have been a strong advocate for your district ever since, and that includes here, not last night, but the previous Thursday evening, you had a huge community forum over at Bethel AME. What came out of that, do you think? You had hundreds of people there.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's interesting that what I wanted to come out is not necessarily what occurred. What came out was a lot of perspectives about people's observations, what they have experienced, the pain of family members having been victims of the great summary that in your introduction you mentioned, violence, guns, all kinds of things that have occurred. And I think that the community is bewildered. The community is afraid. And we've reached a point for that many people to come out on a Thursday night when the NBA championship game was kicking off, that many people to stay 4 hours and 15 minutes. Over 1,000 people in Bethel passed through over the course of the 4 hours. it says that the community is alarmed, and they're coming together out of need, out of frustration. It was a larger, I mean, we printed only 250 programs, and we printed 250, you know, thinking we'd be around that number, and the people came out. There's a lot on their hearts.
Yeah, and an awful lot of interesting feedback. I heard some of it in the transcription where you had community members now saying that as a community, we may have the resources, but they're kind of spread out. And how do you break down the silos? How do you break down the divisions? And in some cases, let's face it, I mean, we are a political town, boy, with that big white building down there, and we see what goes on there. But you've got a lot of folks who just, well, I ain't working with him or her or whatever, and you got to break that down as well. So is that also what you're looking at, Reverend, as far as trying to get more community resources to kind of put aside maybe their differences and work together? And how do you do that?
Well, part of the things that I did at a Shepherd's Hand Resource Center is we developed these things called community coalitions. And so you bring all the people to the table, all the stakeholders in the community at the table. And when we come together at the table, you know, Commissioner Proctor is Bill and not Commissioner Proctor. And so we define everybody's role. So then it's not that infighting, because this problem is so comprehensive and so complex. There's enough work for everyone. And so what we have to do as leaders and individuals and adults is come and define our role. And once we define our role and what part of that problem we are dedicated to, you know, taking some, you know, addressing, then that's how this thing will work out. And that's what I'm very happy to see. You know, I Commissioner Proctor in that meeting Thursday night, because his approach was different. And I learned through FSU Prevention Center is social networking. The response that Commissioner Proctor had from that is because he marketed that in a way of how the people feel. And that's going to have to be some changings too. It's we're going to have to deliver these services, not how we think they should be delivered, but with the perspective of how it's more effective for the people we're trying to serve.
Well, I'd be derelict in my duty if I didn't inform folks that we also had invited folks from the city of Tallahassee to come on deck, too, because they have now the Operation Safe Neighborhoods that's been ongoing. They were working the south side off of Orange Avenue and up on Country Club Road and Brighton Road and Texas Street and all of that last weekend. About 50 folks, I guess, including some top city officials, were walking there. And then they have the Splash and Jam at the Jack McClain Center that's coming up tomorrow night. And those things will be going on throughout the summer. But a lot of folks have been talking there, Commissioner Proctor, about, you know, a law enforcement increase in some strategic neighborhoods, including in some parts of your district, District 1. But I think even though at your gathering at Bethel AME, we had Sheriff Wood and some other folks there, this isn't really just a law enforcement problem, right?
You're absolutely right. And I think that Reverend Sims has pointed out very, very clearly just now that we've got to operate, create new constructs, new paradigms, a paradigm shift, if you will, to understand that what we're doing and how we have approached these things in the past through our agencies, and they're all good, we respect them, but this failure, this dissolution and disarray that has come about has occurred notwithstanding the wonderful presence of TPD and the sheriff and the United Way and the city of Tallahassee. Before their very eyes, our very eyes, these communities are discombobulating, if you will, and we see a sociological degeneration, which I'm not sure that there's any historical precedence for. And in particular, the African-American community, a community that has persevered since slavery, through Jim Crow, through the Civil Rights era, through the post-Civil Rights era, and now we see a huge shift of values. People who would rather to I mean, we see a lot of things occurring that are not consistent with what the African-American community has represented over the last multiple generations of people. And I think that it's so significant that what we're looking at, that many young people, the values that have been ours is not theirs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, we were talking about that out in the lobby before we started, Reverend Sims, that you say, oh, these kids today, and everyone's been saying that since probably ancient Egypt, but they are fundamentally different when it comes to some of the ways they look at the world.
And Tom, if you allow me to expound on his point is, and I talk with these children and I say, you know, hey, take that gun off. Let me go get you a job. You know what they tell me, Reverend? My mama worked two jobs and our car just got repoed. So it's an economic deep oppression. The failure to not raise minimum wage, it is a crying shame if you are working a full-time job and can't live decently. So what is it if you're working two? And so these kids are saying what you're offering me is not appealing. And so we have – that's why I say this problem is very comprehensive. And I'm just convinced, Tom, and I'm a believer in people. Everybody who is doing these things don't want to do them, but they are acts of desperation. And so what we has to do as leaders is come together and put some of these people at the table and say, okay, tell us how we can help you. Not here's what we're going to do to help you.
Okay, that is a really good point. And we heard some of that while I was wandering around the South Side last weekend. I'll share some of that with you in just a moment when we come back on the other side of the break here on Perspectives. And we're talking about the community response to violence here in the Tallahassee and Leon County area. We want your input too, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and we'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, we have Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor, representative of District 1 since 96, and Reverend Stanley Sims, who's rebuilding the Shepherd's Hand Rescue Center up in Havana and is part of the communities of faith response to the uptick in violence, which has always been there. I think anyone growing up, even in the smallest of towns, remember, you know, the nasty kids who would stand out on the corner and smoke cigarettes and scowl at people as they went by. And it seems, however, to have changed dramatically here in the past few years, because whereas you might have a fist fight or someone pick up a baseball bat and go after someone in the old day, today it's usually a 9mm in the pocket, and that settles the argument pretty doggone quick. And sometimes some innocent folks get knocked down in the process of all that. Commissioner Proctor, you've been back during the break. We were talking a little bit off air about the response of young people to a pretty nasty reality in not just parts of our town, but all over the country right now. And how does that response kind of play into the violence, do you think? What's the connection there?
Well, it's simply it's connected in the same way in which the American Revolution was connected. We ain't taking this no more. We're going to have a tea party. It ain't going to go down like this. And the same connection with the Civil War. Somebody decides this is not going to happen, or World War II, III, Vietnam. And, you know, the Bible, for instance, you can't get more blood on pages than 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Samuel. The guy who's the star had a little chance that Saul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. And Saul got mad because David was killing more than him. And we call this a holy book. And it captures violence that you couldn't put on a screen that could get a rating of that could be shown in a movie if you showed it. And so our history and what we salute is violent. The star of the New Testament ended up in a violent way, crucified, violent. Look at our society. We are a violent society. President Kennedy speaks of that. Abraham Lincoln speaks of that. Others who have been assassinated speak to that. We're a violent society. Our legislature proposed that concealed weapons on Florida's campuses. That thing was trotting out there and sitting out there for a few minutes in the legislature just this past session. There's no television show that has a decent rating that does not include violence. At some point, for those who have never seen I Love Lucy, Father Knows Best, The Real McCoys, who did not see The Ed Sullivan Show, but every show that they have ever seen has included violence, including Batman and all the cartoons. It's totally violent. But we at least have a recollection of a time when media in its presentation to children on Saturday morning was Bugs Bunny. It was pretty simple. Space Ghost, real simple stuff. Well, in the end of the story, it all worked out well. We now have media that is all the great shows that get the big ratings. They have someone has to get killed, gored. It's incredible. This is what they have been saturated in. So not saying that you can't turn off the switch from reality to, but at some point our children are desensitized and detached from that instrumentality of spirit that connects them with their humanitarian grace. And that part of the humanitarian grace and the value of caring for and loving and fighting through issues is not there anymore. Even JJ in the Good Times, if you went back to do that show today, Michael would not be the Michael of that show. No one would watch him. Michael would be on the corner trying to find and help his daddy with a job and probably taking a gun and probably getting organized and doing some things that his family can what? Survive. So children now, I don't know if in particular the African-American child within the DNA. The DNA is exhausted from waiting. The DNA is tired as hell from living in America and having nothing. And maybe as creatures, ever so often creatures evolve and they stand up or they begin to act out. They've been backed into a corner. And I understand if you back animals into a corner, they come out. So for survival, we don't know how it works. But for survival's sake, maybe there's a sense that they feel, well, our society does give the right of the Second Amendment. It's holy. And you have to genuflect to that Second Amendment if you run for president of the United States. We cater to guns, and there's nothing to stop it, except that if you do not have the internal workings and understanding maturity levels that guns are really to defend yourself. But if defending yourself is to offend another to get food, clothing, and shelter, how do you distinguish it? It's a big conversation that I think that a genetic timeline and a genetic recall is playing a factor in the overall scheme of survival. No, I am not a person who all the right words on, but who knows? It's a bigger conversation. Then we have Reverend Sims. No, we got Flocka, Waka Flocka. We've got Molly on the street. We've got synthetic, all kinds of stuff, meth. Stuff is on the street that was never on the street before. The stuff that we was dealing with, Boone's Farm.
Mad Dog 2020.
You get a little headache.
And these are hallucinogenics. So they're paranoid. They have desensitized themselves so that they cannot plug into this humanistic spirit if you don't mind me saying, that he's regarding to. And I alluded to you earlier when I met. The definition of a troubled child 25 years ago is not the definition of a troubled child today. And so it gives me great expectations and hope because to see our city leaders, because I think one of the things that came from that walk, Tom, that we did over Saturday, I heard Ms. Favors, you know, make some different remarks. Every now and then, we got to do these unorthodox things to address this problem. The unorthodox thing that you know, Commissioner Proctor did was, despite where you live, you love the Lord. And so we're going to celebrate and we're going to embrace this family because that we agree on. You know, the tragedy, we agree that was a tragedy. So that tragedy alone, now how that tragedy happened, we all got different routes and different perspectives. And so he used what we all agreed on. And that's what we got to do is to get this zone, to clear our head, to do this. Because Commissioner Proctor, this is our community.
Yep. Now, we got the city is traveling to Denver today to pursue the honor of becoming an all-American city. And it's interesting that the distinguished young gentlemen are featured a part of right. and a part of that question that they are answering in becoming an all-American city is, what are you doing to help black boys in your community? That right there is a question that is required to demonstrate in order to become an all-American city. So the distinguished young gentlemen become that focal group who I understand it'll be 20-some members traveling to represent the city and I guess to be showcased in terms of what the city is doing for the black boys of our community. Now, I'm puzzled and troubled by that because those young men in no way represent what is occurring to the little boys of our community. And number one, Tom, we still have not dealt with what Harvard University economists have said about the city and how difficult it is for people to come up from the bottom.
Exactly.
The upward mobility in Tallahassee is extraordinarily difficult. Then we had the University of Toronto report, an institute there, saying that Tallahassee was the number one city in the United States of America where coming up from the bottom economic segregation, we're the most economically segregated based upon education, I believe housing, income, and another fourth variable, I believe. And if you have these reports, which nobody in Toronto has any axe to grind with Tallahassee, Harvard is looking at data and variables that they're applying abstractly to American cities, communities. So Harvard doesn't need to put Tallahassee down to put Harvard up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
they don't need to make us look bad in order for them to be who they are. They've been in existence since the 1600s. It has a name. But our response and engagement of academic findings and how we have responded has been very interesting. We've simply ignored it, and we've spent it to say their methodology was out of sorts. We're not those kind of people. We're not that bad. In the meantime, the distinguished young gentlemen are traveling today, and this weekend, Tallahassee will be vying to be an all-American city. But I find a lot to be desired. If we become an all-American city, I think that designation will just wipe away the very poignant questions that exist and are looming. If Tallahassee becomes an all-American city in Denver and gets crowned that way, I believe there may be many who would suggest, well, hell, we're an all-American city. We're doing better than most. We're in the top 10 cities in America. So bump Harvard. Bump Toronto, bump the kill. Hey, look at this. That could be a false statement
that they think we're okay because, after all, we got this great accolade, so we don't have to do any more than what we're already doing?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Tom and Commissioner Proctor, I'm so privileged to be here with – man, you great.
And, man, you're looking good. I wish y'all could see what the brother is wearing
differ.
Here today.
I hold a different perspective on that. I think that the violence level and the crime level in these communities are too high for anyone to ignore. And I don't care if they crown us as whatever. The people that I shook hands with in those communities, people that I talk to every day, they are the people that were standing in line, them 4 hours of that program. They are not going to say, hey, I don't care what you call us. We need help down here. And because their help is not just whether or not if a bullet going to come through the window. See, these people in this community didn't just start hurting 6 months ago. They have been hurting for a very long time, and now it's at a level that is unacceptable. And they're saying, city leaders, community leaders, we need you all to do something.
Mm-hmm, but also to involve us, because we can't
exactly.
just have you parachute in every, well, right before an election
because the
rest of the community's in an uproar and say, okay, we'll listen to you for the next 15 minutes and then we got to go off and do our thing.
And this is a situation, Commissioner Proctor, that we can't walk in and say we're going to throw you all a barbecue and blow up some balloons and let the kids jump and pass out things and then, okay, see you later. No, this is not going to work. This is not a training program. This is going to have to be some actual comprehensive resources that administer some relief to these people.
Well, I could agree that the pain of the people will not change. It will not go away. I agree. I mean, I'm 100% in. The issue is, will the city, will the county, will Florida State, Florida A&M, will the institutional forces that continue to systemically put forth and maintain and sustain the economic segregation that is in existence. I believe that their response, they got the fun games, the bouncers, a barbecue, let's walk through the neighborhood. That is not an adequate response. That is an immediate look good appearance on television. But if there is no systemic follow through, then the people have got to bring the steam and the energy
exactly.
from their level. I don't know. There's no precedent that the people themselves will bring it. See, I don't think they're going to bring it. I do not believe that they are going to bring it. In the forum and in the processes of which the city, the county, and government typically behaves and awaits your proposals and blah, blah, blah.
Right. No, they're not going to bring it in that form. And Commissioner and Tom, they are already bringing it. They're bringing it with their bullets.
And see,
they're bringing it. They're bringing it, and they've been bringing it. But they've had the step up they'll bring because they've never got anything back in return. And allow me to say this: it's desperation. See, the kids we're talking about that's going to the city All-American program are kids that are living in low economic areas who, by the grace of God, found a program still running, and their children got in. But now the kids about this city walk and these bullets, they are at a level of poverty that is very deep and very comprehensive that a walk just ain't going to help. Even though, and I don't want to diminish the walk, because when we walked through that community, it did tell those people in that community, we heard your cry. We heard your cry. Give us some time, and we're going to try to come together. You tell us what we want. And that's why I know I'm not going to let it die. I want to push the city to the next level as putting together a plan of action.
Yeah, because someone just threw in an email and said, well, why blame the kids, because they're not the ones bringing dope and guns into the community? And at what point can you intervene without stepping on the parents' rights and mm-hmm. their ability to raise their children insofar as they see fit, to say, okay, we are going to help. We're going to give them some options, some alternatives, some different ways of looking at the world before they get, you know, 18 and get a 9mm shoved down their pants.
Exactly.
So how do you go about doing that? Because you don't want to write off the kids who are living the street life now, but how do you get to the little ones before they get there?
And all of my fellow Democrat friends are probably going to shoot me for this here, but, you know, President Bush, No Child Left Behind. But see, that there was a very missing component of the No Child Left Behind cat. You can never advance a child if you don't advance his parent. No matter how bad that parent is, the most influential person in a child's life is their parent. So we've got to offer these parents some real comprehensive relief. And then when they can see that their lives, that their parents' lives are better, they are more apt to drop this, because a lot of this, and I'm going to tell you, as I exited the Department of Correction, yeah, they say, man, you can say what you want, but I paid my mama light bill. I paid my mama. I got my mama a car. I did this. And so we see the bling, bling, bling on TV. But these children are also in this thing because they are doing an economic support to their parents. And so once we can empower their parents and say, hey, you don't have to carry this gun anymore, because now mommy got a job and I'm not making $7.35 an hour. Guess what? The federal government has raised the minimum wage. I'm making $12.89 an hour, so mommy can work one job. I can be here with you all. See, that's real dialogue.
Well, I went to the hospital.
Here, hang on just a second, Commissioner. We'll get to that right after the break, which we hear bearing down on us here on Perspectives, talking about the community response to what's been going on in the streets of Florida's capital city. And we'd love to hear from you, too, at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. Tallahassee, and the problem that we have been seeing evolve, because it certainly is not something that has occurred in the past 6 months. It's been, my gosh, I've been in this town now for heading on 38 years and have seen, whether it was the old days. You remember this, Commissioner, down there at 110 North Macomb Street and some of these other places where there had been violence, but maybe not to the extent or to the publicity that we see it today. Because we do now have the ability to pick up on the news around the clock, and it's as close as our telephone.
Well, one of the things social media has done is that little old place called Ferguson, Missouri, can occur. What's that incident that happened in Texas? The policeman slammed the girl head down.
McKinney, yeah.
I mean, little old teeny-weeny places, but with social media, once you upload this thing, the whole world. So are we really responding? Because social media makes such dramatic international impact instantly. And, you know, back 38 years ago, Tom, what happened in Frenchtown, it was bad things occurring, but it was WCTV control what went on the air.
And they would not be there to really get the video of what went down because they didn't have the capability of responding. So everyone would come in, they go to the police department the next day, they pull the report, and they get that version of the events, but you didn't have people out there with cell phones documenting what was going down at the time it happened.
Right. So now the people get to see it as it happens. Let's take the incident in Texas the other day. You can see it as it happened. The girl over in Ferguson caught what happened. I mean, she saw something was happening, and she grabbed the phone. All over America, people are grabbing their phones, and it's causing people to feel a little raw about a number of things. I don't want to go in there. But I do want to suggest that Reverend Sims, that I got to go back, and I thought he was going to step on some toes. And, you know, we don't have to tiptoe on this show, do we?
No, of course not.
I want to get proper permission. I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Have to sign a waiver. You go right ahead.
Thank you. A part of the failure of these communities, the Democratic Party has not delivered commensurate to the level of support of what these communities are giving the Democratic Party when they vote, when they turn out the vote. There is absolutely zero for parity. What do black people get for supporting 99%, 98%, 97% of their vote goes to the party? So politically, the platform, the programs that ought to be coming back to these communities, should be articulated from the parties. To say that these people have to be to the table and they got to talk and all of that, well and good. They ain't never been at the table, but all you've ever gone down there to do every 4 years is to get their vote. Commensurate to the support that President Obama has received from a bloc that he's certain of, both in 08 and in 12, has he really rendered parity in terms of reciprocal programs to help people come up? Possibly so. In our state, for the black vote, and as loyal as it is, what does this party propose to help people come up? They are to articulate. They say that they recognize. They say that they represent. They say that they are for the people, all of the people, the working class, the underclass, those who are not the wealthy. Our party is supposed to represent. They ain't bringing nothing. So it's very disappointing. It's disillusioning to be a part of a party that is so silent and quiet and hadn't said squat relative to the pain of which they're most loyal. And 97% of the vote support that comes out of the urban communities go to a Democratic Party that simply does not translate their needs at a political level.
But you bring up a good point, too, and I want to let Reverend Sims respond to this, that because you had mentioned the overall voter level within the African American community, unless it's a presidential election, which is true for white folks too,
right.
Absolutely. But is
now watch out. It's not a black and white conversation, is it? I'm gonna leave right now. But I don't want to talk about that conversation.
But you still have a lot of people who they may vote, but then do they also get involved beyond, you know, an occasional community forum when there's a big problem? People need to come up through the ranks to be involved politically.
Reverend Stanley, I want to just say something. White folk are going to get their opportunities whether they vote or not. That's the difference. Go ahead, Reverend.
Well, okay. And wow, he really knows how to throw the reverend in, don't he? But what I really like to say is this thing about the reason why I felt the importance of being here tonight today is because I wanted to continue to bring the perspective from a point of view of a parent or from a child who's toting a gun, who's not toting it by choice, but who is toting it by force. And if we want to talk about politics, I'm not just going to hold. I'm going to go out in the deep blue sea. I see total dysfunction on the federal, state, and local levels from the perspective of this child that's toting his gun or this mother who's got a child toting a gun. They already know that nothing is coming from. They have accepted that. And that's why I'm saying that this era, that adds to the – okay, then you have – here's what you have from their perspective. You got economic depression. You got safety issues dealing. You got educational limitations. You got all of these things factored, you know. And who's to say what decision would you make, Tom? Mm-hmm.
And while he's looking from that level, from that parent and from those children, I am looking from the perspective of policy, analytically, what political response for the dynamic support of the black community to the Democratic Party. And all over our nation, federal, state, and local, the politics of silence and the politics of inaction and the politics of not bringing it up at all until the people bring it in the form of pow, 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 gun violence, which affects what? It affects Florida State's enrollment potentially.
Exactly.
To be the most violent city, FAMU. People don't want to send their children here. It affects the professionals which may move to this community otherwise, but for the violent reputation of being the state's number one most violent city in the largest state in the South, we hold that title and distinction. And at some point, the ripple effect will have economic downturns upon institutions whose silence and their being islands and silos unto themselves that doesn't bother us, It's them. It's their problem. But when the data goes out, when the headline says Tallahassee, Florida's most violent city, which is Florida's nation's most third largest state, that carries something for people who are making decisions on where their children are going to college.
Well, yeah, and also things like what the Leon County Commission does as far as going out with the economic development folks and trying to bring in new business and industry and all that. Say, I don't want to bring my employees to a place where they may get their face blown off.
Right.
That isn't going to work. Let's go to the phones. Alton awaits on line two. Hi, Alton. Thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to make a comment in reference to some key words, restoration, rehabilitation, and recidivism. I think that these are very key words for young black men such as myself. I'm 34. I just graduated cum laude from FAMU on May the 2nd. I'm also a veteran. I served in Operation Enduring Freedom on USS JFK. For 9 months off the coast of Afghanistan. I'm looking at both of those and along with the perspective that I've also have found myself I found myself in jail for making decisions that wasn't the best as well. And I think that what the problem is for a young black male in these days is that they're in order to exercise those key words that I said, there needs to be accountability. And I don't see that accountability in the places of those who we have to look up to with the media projects, from the presidents on down, politicians, police officers. The accountability isn't there until public awareness is out there. If it's something that can be happen in a small town, we don't hear about it. The newspapers are regurgitating bigger stories instead of focusing on local aspects. And I think that these things disable the black male in order to make proper examples for those under him, for himself, and also to gather resources to not only make better decisions, but to be empowered to make these decisions and not out of desperation.
Alton, first, thank you for your service and congratulations. That is a phenomenal accomplishment. We appreciate your input, Commissioner Proctor.
Well, the brother Alton has spoken very well, and I just wanted to say one example of what he said. Take, for instance, when Baltimore's riots, if you want to use that particular word, you say use words, the word riot. I'll use that word because it was characterized as such by media. President Obama, at the time that he was informed and asked the question about Baltimore, he was standing with the Prime Minister of Japan signing a new trade agreement. So the President of the United States is standing with the Prime Minister of Japan talking about trade and agreement and more money and less American jobs and more of Americans' money, including the tax dollars of the young kids who were in the streets in Baltimore, here in Tallahassee and Ferguson, wherever. Our president was standing in the Rose Garden, and he called the children who were less than 30 miles away thugs. Yet the kids over in Japan, they may not be thugs because their prime minister is bringing bacon home. He's creating trade and agreement. And when the president of the United States does not have a trade agreement with Baltimore, which the New York Times subsequently came out and said, this is America's most troubled economic city, where children and people at the bottom are locked in ways that they cannot get up. Where is the trade agreement with America's central cities, urban communities? That's the failure of politics. That's the silence. That's the inaction. And it was very troubling for the highest ranking person in federal government to call children who are living in the most despondent environment thugs who are rioting and burning and looting and this and that. Well, hell, you don't have to do that in Japan if you can trade with the largest country and most powerful country in the world. You don't have to burn and loot if you got that kind of access. But we don't have the access as Americans, which the children in Japan have, that the president is making sure that it occurs with them. I have a problem with that. And until you have domestic policy, economic agreements that are working in our cities, I mean, a whole new Marshall Plan to not rebuild just Europe after World War II, a Marshall Plan that will rebuild American inner cities with infrastructure. Look at Detroit. Look at the Decay. Look at Baltimore. Look at a number of cities and places. That, to me, signals political inactivity. And people have got to register. They have got to vote. And somehow, even though they have seen failure, they have seen colossal neglect, we've got to try one more time to push this voting thing and to exercise it, to take back the Congress, to take back the keep the White House, and to make these things occur, these mean old judges, these mean old conservatives that's killing folk and their sense of humanity, and that all people should share a spectrum within American society. It ain't there.
Okay. Reverend Simms, let me ask you about a resource named Alton, who we just heard from there. Gentleman who has some great accomplishments. He's a veteran. He made a mistake. He wound up in prison. When you go out on the street, or Commissioner Proctor goes out on the street and talks to some of the young men who may be on the verge or have already committed some acts of violence, they're not going to listen to you. They're certainly not going to listen to me. Would they listen to someone like Alton?
And I even beg the differ to they won't listen to someone like me or him. And they will listen to you. And first of all, I want to say to Alton, I thank you for your service. And I also want to give you another R. And this R is resurrection. Because when these children pick these guns up, they have committed to death. They know that's the ultimate decision, and they are all in. And that one of their sayings is, I'm going to keep it 100. Because if you play the game, you got to play it like the rule, according to the rules. And so for individuals like Alton, who landed in jail at one time, realized that, hey, this is not a dead end. I can resurrect from this situation. And so what we have got to do is, wherever these people are dying, and Commissioner Proctor, if you can reference the Bible and talk about the bloodshed, I ought to be able to reference the Bible and talk about Lazarus. These kids have laid in the grave for 4 days, and they stink. It's resurrection time. We have got, as city leaders, we have got to go in and be willing to feel uncomfortable. They can't come politically correct. They're going to have to be able to come with their tattoos on their face. They're going to have to be able to come with their pants sagging behind their behind. And for full disclosure, I have 2 teenagers, and they know that just gets under my grain. But in order for me to get that gun out of your hand, I'm going to have to act like I don't see that blunt in between your fingers or that gun in your coat pocket or their pants sagging on your behind, and I'm going to talk to you.
Well, let's see if we can get something in from Larry here. We only have a few more minutes remaining in this morning's
I'm coming
program.
Back to talk again.
And you're going to talk again.
I'm coming back.
Larry's on line 4.
It's been engaging.
thank you, Larry, for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
This show don't last long enough, Tom. That's the problem.
Well, anyway, you're right, sir.
I got to, especially when Bill goes on and on. Anyway, I got 2 points, and one is basically standing mission to be together. These meetings don't mean nothing because the kids aren't there. And having a meeting where you have 2 hours of the preachers and the politicians in town talking to everybody, we need 2 hours of listening to the kids. And these kids aren't stupid. They know what's going on. They know how neglected they are. They see when all the bling-bling ends up on Gain Street. And that sinkhole that tried to sell us to the park, they know that ain't doing for them. They know there's no sidewalks between where they live and where they go to school. There's no counselors in the school. So that in some cases, a child might need a 5-minute conversation to straighten him out when he's in the second grade or the third grade. It may take a lot more than that. It may take down sitting with the parent or whoever's responsible and trying to work something out to help them in their situation. But there's no counselors in the schools. There's no home ec and shop in the schools. The school system is aimed at everybody going to college. But these kids aren't going to go to college. They don't want to go to college. They don't need to go to college. They need a skill so they might walk out of high school. If they get to the point of walking out of high school, actually graduating from high school, that they can go out there and fulfill a need for employment. And there's all the money gets spent in this town. I bet a lot more money gets spent in the construction and the maintenance and all that in the schools than ever gets spent on actually dealing with the problem of these kids. They're our responsibility as a community to take care of. And, you know, it's got to go on and on. I mean, this has been going on for 20 years now.
Larry, I'm sorry. We're going to have to let it at that, but always good to hear from you, and thanks for calling on Perspectives.
Larry done talked all the music up.
That's right. Reverend Stanley Sims, Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor, thank you guys so much for being on Perspectives.
Tom,
we will chat more about this for sure.
Yes, sir.
We have Lydell and Sawyer handling all the stuff in the back room today, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Father's Day coming up. We'll talk about that next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.